again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media coverage of Moeller Fighting Crusader Athletics. It is Moeller Lacrosse time, our Moeller Lacrosse podcast with head coach Sean McGinnis, brought to you by Total Wealth Planning, where you can contact Rob Limits at 513-984-6696 or visit him online, TWP, that stands for Total Wealth Planning, TWP Team. com. Hello, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. We're doing nice. A little midweek here this week because you had a game last night on a Tuesday night. We're doing this on a Wednesday, so you did this on Tuesday night, and you're getting ready for what will wrap up the regular season coming up this weekend. So we'll get into what is still to come, but let's go back to what was first off and kind of take a look at things that transpired over the last couple days. And let's go back first off about a week ago. We talked to you right ahead of the Loveland game, and that was one of those games where, you know, Loveland is maybe not the best record coming in, but you're getting down to the end of the season. They're trying to kind of get things going as they head into the postseason.
Yeah, everyone's playing their best lacrosse, you know, right now. So, you know, you get a game like Loveland at, you know, back at Moeller and stuff, and they're coming in, and, you know, we have not been that successful against Loveland late in the year over these last couple of years. So, you know, they've got that kind of confidence coming in, and our guys have got confidence after winning, I think, four in a row there. So, you know, it was just a good hard-fought game. You know, they give credit to Loveland. They just kind of kept, you know, climbing back in.
Right.
You know, really good transition, you know, from defense to offense. And, you know, right now we're kind of in that point where we're still, you know, working on our goaltending. We're still working on our faceoffs. Reese Boggs started really well that game and came up with a lot of you know, a lot of face-offs for us and things like that. And, I mean, we didn't play particularly well that day. And, you know, it's kind of one of those scenarios where it's like if we play like that in a playoff situation, you know, our season may be done. So, you know, overall, though, you know, it's a good match. You know, we always play tough against each other. Yeah, it's a Cincinnati game. There was a lot of things as far as seedings on our end, you know, for Moeller, but then seedings on their end, you know, for voting for Loveland. So I kind of thought, like, you know, maybe down the road we don't put this game in May. You know, maybe we put it in, like, April or end of March where, it might be a little bit different scenarios. But, you know, Coach Riggle over there is doing really well with his first year and really trying to do some new things with the program, interject a little new life and, you know, new thoughts and things like that. So he's doing really well.
As I look at the game, it was a 12-9 final score. So Moeller getting the win. Loveland scored first, so you had to play come from behind. Lacrosse isn't one of those.
I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, and either, you know, most often I think we're always getting scored on first. You know, it's kind of been, you know, kind of how been the season's, you know, going. And, you know, I'll tell you what, these guys have learned resilience. You know, we keep trying to say it's okay to be 9-6. It's okay to be 10-6. You know, it just means you had a lot of adversity. You had a lot of challenges throughout the year, and we'd much rather go through that than be 12-2, and we didn't have that many tough games this year.
Right. So. Yeah, and I think that's a great thing because you just mentioned a few moments ago, too, how, you know, at this point of the season, you're still trying to kind of put some things together and find playing in a game like that in a tournament setting, you may see your season come to an end. So in that sense, I guess that's a nice lesson to learn at that point of the season that you can't overlook anybody.
Well, I look at it this way. Like, you know, we had games where, I mean, even, you know, going into the Mason game, but, you know, we've had games where, you know, we're down a couple goals and we fight back and, you know, maybe we rush our offense a little bit too much or, you know, we don't do something right defensively and we lose by a couple games or a couple goals, you know. But going in a game like Loveland, you know, you've got you know, a team coming back on you. You know, we're trying to extend the lead. Time's running out, you know, so it's a great time, you know, opportunity for us to learn, you know, how to possess the ball and how to have quality shots and, you know, make sure we're going hard on defense and picking up the ball and clearing the right way. So again, all that plays into how we prepare and get ready for the postseason.
Looking at the scoring in that game, you had a lead going into halftime. You say, you know, can you talk about giving up the first game or the first goal to start the game? Start the third quarter, they scored almost.
They
right
came
off
out
the
pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to give them credit. You know, they did some really good halftime adjustments. You know, I think, you know, maybe our guys just started looking a little forward a little bit because they saw that, you know, the score was
9-4 at halftime.
You know, 9-4 at halftime. And that's just a maturity thing, you know, and that's something we're trying to do. You know, something I know I'm working on in the offseason. I mean, the X's and O's are there. I mean, you know, our assistant coaches and you've talked to them and, mm-hmm. you know, we've got, you know, good guys that, that really work hard, on teaching, you know, the skills and teaching higher level stuff and, working our O&D. So coming out of, this season and the next, it's a lot of that mental preparation. It's, you know, and the mental game of, the mental side of sports, I think is where we really got to, kind of lock into next year, because when you're up 9-4, you should kind of have that killer mentality, like, okay, we're going to go put 9, 10, 12 more on and get going. And you know, we really respect our opponents. You know, we really make sure that our guys just play the game, you know, within ourselves. You know, we worry about us. We take care of ourselves. We don't worry kind of who's on the other side of the ball or not. And you know, I think at the end of the day, we need to get better at the mental side of things. We got to have that killer instinct of when we're up, we got to stay up, and we got to stay up big.
Absolutely. So 12-9, the final score on that game. And it was a busy week. So you go into what we talked about last week, kind of not overlooking Loveland, but the Mason game, and, and how that was going to be an important game for you for a couple of different reasons. One, for the state seeding, once the draw was going to take place coming up in the, over the weekend. And then you also had the MSLCA tournament, so and where you were going to be seeded in that.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, and then we had weather.
On top of that, and it was supposed to be played Thursday.
So, I was supposed to play Thursday, and you know, we had that line of storms come through early and thought the next line would really affect the outcome. I'm not even starting the game, or we'd start the game and then we'd stop and then we'd lose daylight and stuff. So
because it was going to be at Moeller with no lights.
I mean, you just really can't, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot sometimes, you know, when we're looking at the radar and stuff. And, you know, our you know, our athletic director and everything did the right thing by, you know, moving the game till Friday. So we had to go up to Mason, which – great complex, and you know, it's always a good time to go up there and play.
Well, we'll talk about the game coming up, and I'm sure you've had a chance to talk to the players, and they understand this. So maybe for some people listening in, wondering two things: one, why the game was moved from Moeller to Mason a day later, and two, why it was so late, and there was a very good reason.
So the reason was that, you know, obviously we don't have lights at Moeller, and when we went to reschedule the game for 6 o'clock on Friday, there's Friday night games already played or planned out. So the assigner for officials said that there's just no opportunities. If you want to get
referees.
This game in, no refs. If you want to get this game in, you're going to have to do it at this time. And then looking into, like, okay, you know, I think
you had St. Charles.
We had St. Charles, the senior day on Saturday, and then, you know, they had things going on later on, Monday and Tuesday of this week. So it's kind of like Friday is the day, or it may not even get in. So,
and the importance of that game then to what it meant.
Yeah, and then, you know, then the importance of it is that, you know, from a seating, from an OHSAA seating to the MSLCA, you know, we were sitting around 5 this whole, you know, basically the whole season, sitting around that 5th seed. I think if we beat them, I think it would have helped us maybe jump Sycamore, and we would have been 4th. Maybe, maybe not, you know.
Right.
It's hard without a clear, like with PowerPoints like football, there's nothing really clear for lacrosse coaches to use in as far as the seating. You know, you can use lax numbers now. It used to be lax powers. You can look at that. You can look at inside lacrosse. You can look at what the Ohio High School, like Max Preps, the Ohio High School Athletic Association uses. So there's all these different ones, and one may show us at 4 and one may show us at 5. And then you got to kind of look in it and say, well, okay, now that all these teams locally have their conferences, you know, are they playing tougher schedules like we are? You know, and then
how subjective is this whole thing?
You know, you'd have to ask all, you know, 18 high school coaches, you know, how they do that, because that's you know, because there's nothing pure like, you know, something that the like even the like the PowerPoints, or I think
it's
basketball,
just not a straight black
basketball
and white.
Uses. Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these schools or some of the sports like basketball and baseball and I think even soccer, I mean, there's something more definitive other than a secondary resource of rankings to make a decision. You know, I mean, we could we should look at it and say, okay, you know, this is how you're going to do it. You're going to look at strength of schedule. You're going to look at common opponents. You're going to look at a ranking, and then make your decision. Because right now it's just like, well, if you want to look at if you want to go look at lax numbers, go look at lax numbers. And if you want to look here, but make your decisions and have it in by 4 o'clock on Saturday.
You know? I mean, that's part of the growing pains.
And yeah, it's like I'm not blasting. I'm not. By no means are we airing any complaints. It's just, you know, that's just kind of how things happen. That's how we, you know, that's how the seedings happen. So, you know, we beat them. We could have jumped and got four. But quite honestly, because the way it works is once you get your seed, you put yourself on the brackets. So quite honestly, after like the first or even the second seed, 3, 4, 5 really doesn't matter because you could put yourself anywhere on the bracket. You'll get home games regardless because you're the higher seed. So.
So it's all that in the mindset going into the Mason game. Yeah. You're talking about if we win, if we don't win, what the scenarios could be. That being said, that's one part of it. The other part was actually planning against a very good Mason team.
Yeah,
really strong Mason team.
You know, we really had to be concerned about the face-off X with Brendan Malloy up there, you know, and their offense, you know, centered around Xander Wells and I think it's Austin Croy. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, if you were there, you saw a great lacrosse game.
Yep.
I mean, in my 6 years down here, I think that definitely ranks up there as one of the better games because the atmosphere was great. The energy that our guys put forth for 48 minutes was probably the best all season long. And again, Reese Boggs really kind of helped us out in that game. You know, we missed a few shots early on that might have been the difference maker. We missed a few opportunities later in the game that, you know, could have kept our lead or at least gotten the lead. But
getting tied back.
You know,
but.
So, I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, we were in the second half. We were down, I think, 3 goals at one point. So, again, it shows the resilience of our team. You know, they're not giving up. They're not quitting. They're not like, okay, here we go again, and this is how it's going to end. They're kind of just saying, all right, look, just get one back at a time. Let's do as we're told, or let's, you know, make sure we're valuing possessions on offense in order to get these goals back.
And it ends up being an 11-10 loss, and as dynamic and exciting as that game was, almost kind of a different. So you were talking about Loveland before and how if you don't play up to your competition, you're going to see your season end. To me, a game and the way that they played against Mason, that's one where you, even though you lose, you gain some confidence as you go into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this whole thing, you know, like no moral victories. We're not using that kind of connotation. It's just like it's more of a confidence. Like, okay, if we did, you know, A, B, and C better, we're probably coming out winning. You know, and the fact knowing that we need to get through that, you know, Mason, or we need to get through St. X or someone to get, you know, as far as we can in the tournament by playing that closely, you'll go back in, the kids go back in, and they start watching the film, and they start saying, okay, if we do this differently next time, you know, we give ourselves a chance to win that game. So
a very exciting game, and it came right down to the last minute.
Yeah,
you tied it up, and then
it's funny. I was sitting there. I'd have to go back and look at it, but I mean, you know, we've lost 3-1 one goal games in probably like you know, we need like a minute and a half back in the entire season to switch our record around, and we'd have 3 wins.
Xander Wells scored with 22 seconds left in the game, and that's the third time this year you've lost in the last minute by one goal.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Clark, to his credit, you know, he told the defense what was going to happen, and you know, we just kind of got caught ball watching a little bit, and he put the winning goal in. So, but like I said, I mean, I think everyone, even our fan base, our parent base, you know, everyone walked away saying, okay, like, we see the potential in this group. We see that these guys can play at a high level. So, you know, it's got to fix a few things.
So, very short turnaround, though, from that game, because then you have to turn around and come right back senior day, 3 o'clock. That was an 8:30 face-off.
Yeah.
So, it was about 10 o'clock when that game got done.
Yep.
Friday night, to turn around and have to come back and play 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and, you know, St. Charles gave us everything in that game. You know, well-coached by Pat Hartnett up in Columbus, and great, you know, they're you know, we scrimmaged them a couple years ago, but they're a great team. You know, well mannered, and they play the game really well. And you know, just their goalie really kind of You know, the expression stood on his head. I mean, he really played well for them. A couple of their offensive guys. I mean, sure, you know, we can say like, hey, we didn't have our legs underneath us from playing late last night, you know, kind of getting the last couple games in the season. But again, you know, one of those things, even though it was a double overtime win, and it was great to see Dylan.
7-6.
Yeah. I mean, Dylan Warner's been waiting for a moment like that, you know, and it was so great for it to happen, you know, to Dylan on senior day too. But, you know, again, they met resilience. They kept pushing through. I think they saw a little bit of themselves of like, hey, we've got to do things better in order to not put ourselves in this situation. So it was good.
Dylan Warner gets the game tying goal to send it to what ends up sending it to overtime, and then gets the game winner. Yeah, with five seconds left in second overtime.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, he works so hard, and I got to give him credit because, you know, he came from Little Miami where, you know, he was probably one of the better players, and then he comes to Moeller where he's got a lot of friends there before he got there. And, you know, it's just a different scenario when you have kids like Brendan Sigurdsson and Theo Becker and Lane Miller and Cole Grillo and all these guys. And he's been finding his way, and he's really done a great job this season. And, I mean, for him to do that on that day was just – I'm just so happy that he was able to do that.
And that gives you the win as then ready to get into a game against LaSalle. We're going to take a break. We've kind of already gone long here in this first segment. So we'll take a little break. We'll talk about the LaSalle game from Tuesday night. And then also over the weekend, the seedings happen. So we'll kind of we'll do a double dip on that and talk about that. And as we look forward now to the MSLCA coming up this weekend. It's our weekly Moeller Lacrosse podcast. Head coach Sean McGinnis here with us as we've got more coming up. Stay with us on ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696, or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Back on our Moeller Lacrosse podcast, Sean McGinnis, head coach of the Crusaders, here with us. Again, it's brought to you by Total Wealth Planning. Contact Rob Lemons. You can get a hold of him on the web, TWPteam.com. Give him a call, 513-984-6696. Let's try to keep this in, I guess, order as how things happen.
A lot going on, man.
It's been a busy week since we last talked. Yeah. So you get the 7-6 double overtime win over St. Charles Prep just hours after the tough loss at Mason 11-10 on Friday night. And then you've got the draw on Saturday for the Ohio High School boys lacrosse tournament. And so that's all set up. You end up coming out as a number five seed, which I guess is where got in your head you probably thought you were going to be.
No, I mean, I thought it was going to be a 4 or 5, okay. I mean, quite honestly. And I mean, once we got going, I mean, right before we got going, you know, you play out these scenarios. You're like, okay, if we're, you know, we're 4 or 5, and, you know, sometimes people go away from the number one seed. Sometimes they're like, we're going after the number one seed. You know,
and St. X is the number one seed.
So St. X, number one seed. And then, you know, Mason goes, you know, down below them as the two. And then the surprising one was Springboro a little bit. But again, it doesn't matter where you put yourself on the brackets, because the higher seed will get the home game. So, you know, they stayed away from St. X, so they didn't go up. You know, they went down in the Mason bracket. And they went to the very bottom. So that leaves the game above them open. Sycamore goes up and is in the St. X bracket. So we picked the game that we'd go against, eventually probably meet up with Springboro if we get to the quarterfinals, which is going to be a great game. So, you know, at the end of the day, again, after seed, you know, 1 and 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way down, you know, doesn't really matter that much as, you know, as far as where you are on the bracket. So,
well, and we should mention too, Moeller will play Lakota East in that at first, or I guess technically second round game, the first game for that. And then Springboro plays Fairfield, and the winners of those games will move on. You got to beat the best to be the best.
You do.
It doesn't matter, 3, 4, 5.
And it's a little you know, deja vu from 2 years ago. I mean, we were fifth seed 2 years ago and mid-run. We had an up-and-down year like this year 2 years ago. So And the seniors that were on the field playing that, during that stretch were, I think, sophomores. So, I mean, they kind of get what needs to happen. We're ready and we're working for it starting this weekend at the MSLCA. I mean, that was a little bit of a kind of a downer too. I mean, we didn't have a winning record. We were 3-4. And again, the coaches vote. So the top four in the A bracket, second four in the B bracket, everyone else kind of plays consolation games. And I knew if we would have beat Mason, we would have been in that B bracket, you know, championship. But I thought maybe we just squeak in there being 3-4, you know, beating, you know, some good teams like Kilbourne and stuff like that.
Right.
But we didn't. So we're going to play University School, which is a great school out of Cleveland, Division II power from the north,
right.
And then Shady Side on Saturday, which is another good team from Pittsburgh. So, you know, we're using these two games to prepare. You know, last night was good to kind of play and get everyone in and just kind of wrap up the regular season, and now we're going to go and play these two games and start preparing for a run.
So it was a 24-1 win over LaSalle. So LaSalle's a relatively new program.
Yeah.
It's a GCL rival, so I'm sure the guys got a little bit of a joy out of that, beating a fellow GCL school.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of take it all into perspective, I guess.
Yeah, you do. You know, I give the coach credit over there, Simon. I give him a lot of credit because he's not, you know, he doesn't have a feeder system. He doesn't have a pull like Moeller and St. X does. And I mean, he's just working really hard to just kind of teach the kids the right way and have them, you know, be respectful and things like that. I mean, and it's tough. I mean, I was in those situations, you know, before as a coach where, you know, you just can't do anything right, or the opponent is just that much better than you, and you know, you're doing everything you can. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, like you said, it's nice to get a GCL South win. I mean, GCL South will have lacrosse next year as a league.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
So like they're sponsoring it, or it'll be a league.
So it'll be
league,
conference
league
titles
sport,
on the round.
So there'll be, you know, league titles and all that stuff. So
cool.
Yeah, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's the right way to promote the sport and grow the sport. So, yeah, I mean, we got a lot of guys got some playing time. We had some seniors that scored. Jake Bambauer scored, which was awesome. The kids went nuts when Jake scored. And, you know, guys like Lucas Alzano. I mean, a game like that is great because it's an opportunity for everyone to play. And kids work so hard.
Well, sure, yeah.
They work so hard in practice. They work so hard day in and day out, and they may not get any playing time or very little. And so you see them pour it all out on a game like that, and they want to keep, like, Kai, I want to keep going. Well, yeah, you know, it's time to dial it back a little bit. Yeah. It's like, yeah, but I'm good if you need me. I know I'm good if you need me. Like, I know you are, but, you know, let's, like, get everybody else in. And, you know, so, I mean, it was just great to see the smiles on their faces and, get guys playing time that haven't gotten in yet and score, you know, and like that. So it was good.
Let's mention a few of them. I mean, Clayton Wood, Nolan Malone, they got goals. Zach Windling picked up a goal. Dan Dunlop picked up a goal.
So we got to switch that because Clayton Wood. So it's actually Clay Matthews scored. So Clay was using Clayton's jersey last night.
Okay, Steve Ulbrich. Yeah, so let's clean that one up in there a lot. But, boy, that's great, though. A great reward for guys that do work hard and finally get a chance to play, because it's still a complete team effort, team game. Whether or not they get in or not, they're there to support. They're there to rally. They're helped to prepare in the practices and everything.
Well, and you know, for our starters, you know, the thing we talk about is like, hey guys, like, this is a good opportunity just to kind of clean up stuff as we get into the postseason. So, you know, clean up the catching and passing, clean up the, you know, the offense that we need. You know, the offensive things we need to do better and stuff like that. So.
And again, to me, when you have a complete team effort like that, and then you get a chance for some of those guys to get a little bit of actual real playing time, but to keep them mentally focused and in the game as you now prepare for the second season. And I saw today on Twitter the Wisdom Wednesday quote that you put in there.
Yeah.
And I think that almost kind of goes into what happened in last night's game and over the weekend, too.
Yeah, the whole thing about everyone buying in and doing their job. And once everyone buys in, I mean, things just become a lot easier, and you become more focused as a team. You know, more guys become willing to work hard for each other and stuff like that. I was listening to a podcast today. It's about fear of failing. And on the podcast, it said, like, basically, paraphrasing here, but like, if someone like cares about you, then you can't fail. Like,
I like
you can't.
Yeah.
If you have someone counting on you, failure isn't an option. So if you have, you have coaches and you have teammates and you have classmates, you know, counting on you to go get that ground ball, counting on you, you know, to make that shot when we need to, make that save when you need to. When you have people counting on you, you can't fail. There's no options. You got to do your role and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool, and it kind of reminded me of just how we need to get going. And then I do that every Wednesday. I do a bunch of stuff, like try to do it throughout the week. We hopefully got a really good For the Brotherhood on Friday coming up. We can get a couple videos. We might get a couple videos out there on Friday with now all these guys coming back.
And
they want to, like, say stuff to the boys and get them ready for the tournament.
Who was it last week? Was it Jack Toom last week? Or?
Last week, it was Donnie Jeanetti.
Oh, Jeanetti. That's who it was. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to get a few guys this week. And so hopefully, we'll have some good ones on Friday.
Very, very cool. So, well, you got the MSLCA tournament Friday, 3:30, and then Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And then next Tuesday, the 14th, is when Lakota East will be at Moeller High School. That'll be the first round of the OHSAA tournament, and that's when it all starts at that point. The run will start.
And the thing is, we've been talking about, I've been saying this since the beginning of the year, the 18 games you play, you know, beforehand, all they are, it's dress rehearsal for six games in May. So our big thing moving on is six games in May. And if we can, kind of keep plugging away one game at a time, I think we're going to be pretty successful.
I think so, and it'll be very exciting to watch that all get underway. So good luck coming up this weekend. One thing we do want to touch on, and it kind of goes out after the end of the season,
so
looking for the end of the season to take place, but the summer camps that are going to be coming up as well, and we talk about the Junior Crusaders lacrosse program.
Yeah, we have, it's always fun, for us to – have a camp in the summertime. All the sports do it up there. It's a great way for the youth of Cincinnati and local, athletes to come up and see our campus and get to know our coaches and play the sports and learn and things like that. So we have an instructional camp that's June 24th through the 27th. So it's an instructional camp for all youth, grades 2 through 8. And that's 5 to 7.
Is that all boys or
all
boys?
Okay, yeah, all boys. And then our second session is for the Junior Crusaders. For anyone that's in the Junior Crusader program, it's a lacrosse camp for them.
Okay.
And that's 7 to 9. So we have two different kinds of camps. You know, the instructional camp is for anyone locally who's looking to learn the game or, learn a new skill or, brush up on their skills and stuff like that. And then the Junior Crusader camp, the second session. And I just wanted to send a quick shout out to Zach Sense. He's a junior on our team. He's our all-around great guy and does good things for our team. He has a heart surgery today. He's got a little major surgery, little minor major surgery today.
Okay.
And we just want to give a shout-out.
Absolutely.
We're thinking and praying about him, and the kids love him, and we just want to make sure Zach is doing all right tonight. So.
All right, Zach. We are thinking about you, man. So best of luck with that. Hope everything goes very well. And we'll
do
an update on that.
We will.
Next week as well. Is there information or website where they can check out the Moeller Summer Camps?
Yeah.
We'll get it on our Let's Go
Yeah, it's on Moeller.org. It's right on the top page. It says camps. You just click on that, and you see all the camps. And we have great – I mean, all the sports do the camps, football, soccer, lacrosse, volleyball.
Yeah.
We have a fundamentals, which is all like four or five sports all in one day, and they just kind of rotate around the sports. Baseball's got it. Basketball is up there 24/7. They got like five different sessions.
You're
but
back to back state.
Yeah,
champs,
when you're back to back state champions,
yeah,
it's so it's just it's a busy time up there in the summertime. But there's a lot going on up there for the youth in Cincinnati.
Well, we'll make sure we have that on letsgobigmo.com as well. So. It's in fact, it already is. It's under the Let's Go Big Mo, and then if you go to the Fan Zone, there's a top little drop down menu under Fan Zone. So awesome. It's already there. So
good stuff.
Executive producer Rob Ebel telling me that. So, well, Coach, good luck. Safe travels up to Columbus coming up for the weekend. Let's get a couple dubs up there, and then let's get ready for Lakota East next week.
Sounds great.
We will catch up. I believe we're going to try and do it Monday, May 13th. So we'll get the wrap up from the MSLCA tournament over the weekend, and then we'll catch up as a preview as well to look ahead to Lakota East and what's going to happen to the OHSAA.
Sounds great.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Appreciate your time as always. And again, you can find us at let it be known out there. There are a lot of different places you can find us on all of our podcasts. You can go to SoundCloud and iTunes. We've been that way, but we've now added on the different podcast platforms, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. So again, I think we said it last week. You got to look hard not to be able to find us. So, but hopefully you will find us and spread the word. So, Sean, good luck this weekend. We will catch up next week. Appreciate you listening in our Mueller Lacrosse podcast here on ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.